Okay, so welcome this morning. I think my nerves are just about calmed enough now to start. So the theme today is Come On Down, The Price Is Right. And I know Angie was particularly looking forward to this. I don't know, we had a conversation a couple of weeks ago and I knew then what I was going to be talking about. And like the sermon, I think you may think it's going a bit of a wayward path as I go through this. You may think I'm going on tangents. But I'm going to take you through the process of how I wrote the sermon and how the word came to me. And I think a lot of it, I think, was, well, I hope a lot of it was divinely inspired. And I think there are various metaphors and parables in there. And I think that hopefully you'll be challenged by what I bring. So a few weeks ago, I knew I had to prepare for this time, and oh, I've just clicked that, haven't I? Whoops. So a few weeks ago, I knew I had to prepare for this sermon. Oh, the wind's blowing my paper over. That's exciting. So I'm getting some echo here. Okay. So echo on here, Sharon. Sorry. Okay. I didn't really know what I was going to be speaking on, basically, to cut a long story short. And I thought, what shall I bring? What shall I bring for today? And immediately I remembered a song from way, way back. And some of you guys might remember it, I don't know. But it says, God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I come to you to share his love as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. All power is given in Jesus' name, in earth and heaven, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I come to you to share his power as he told me to. So I did the diligent, because I'm such a good Christian scholar. I looked up the passage using Google. And I think Google can be a bad thing, but it also can be a very useful thing to find things like this and to locate where in the Bible the verses for freely, freely actually come from. And they come from Matthew 10, verse 1, through that whole passage. Now, this passage is not necessarily saying that we should do exactly what they did here, because this is actually a specific mission which Jesus had given his disciples. And that was special mission for that specific time. And I think part of that whole purpose was to actually train them up for the wider mission for their in their lives and service to the kingdom and for the development of the church. So the main song verses are there, really. They're quite simple, really. It's to freely give what you've freely received. You freely received, so now freely give. So my theme for my talk is about freely you have received and freely give. What we can tend to do is focus on the gift, and then you kind of realize that there actually is a requirement to, you know, you can, there's a requirement for you to give back. Okay. And I was thinking about childhood, when you'll get given a bag of sweets and your mum says to you, or your dad says, oh, you've been a really good boy, here's a packet of sweets. This is some kind of torture that parents put you through. And they say, well, share them with your sister. Oh, and give a few to mummy because she's been good. Oh, and daddy's back from work. Give some to dad. Oh, give one to the dog. And your sweets are ever decreasing. So thank goodness we're not like greedy children and we share our sweets. The next thing that came to mind, which was kind of random, was come on down, the price is right. And it's not a particularly a program I watched, but that was what came to mind. And that was part of the process of writing the sermon. When we grew up in our family, we used to watch a lot of game shows. And partly when my great uncle came to live with us, he was a miserable guy, really. But when he came to live with us, he used to like watching game shows. And we're talking bad game shows, BAD, before Ant and Dec. Ah, yes, there was a time before Ant and Dec. And each of these game shows would make an, would, I thought, each of these game shows that were around at that time would make excellent sermon messages. Because we had the generation game. the generation game could be about the establishment of Israel through Abraham. And for instance, so I was thinking about the actual game, and what they used to do was they'd have mixed generations. So you have a dad and his daughter, or you'd have a son-in-law and his mother-in-law, and they would go up and they'd have to do different tasks, and they would do it, they'd have a quick lesson, probably about a few minutes, and then they'd have to be expected then to turn a pot on a wheel or learn to flamenco dance. And everybody would laugh at them as they tried desperately to produce something that was worth a few points. Then we had family fortunes. I thought that could be the story of Joseph and his journey into Egypt and how he came from slavery to become second in command in Egypt. So, family fortunes. We asked 100 people, what do you do on a Sunday? Number one answer is, take our children to football. So, then we had play your cards right. And I used to like play your cards right. And I thought play your cards right might be about David and his rise to be king and waiting for the opportunity to take his promised kingdom. That play your cards right was a game where they put cards in a row and you had to predict what the next card was going to be, higher or lower. So it's an eight. Do you want to play or do you want to pass? What should they do? Play or pass? Play or pass? And everyone would shout out whether they should play or pass. Well, I think, thank you, Bruce, I think we're play. So you're going to go, will you go higher or lower? We're going to go higher, higher. Higher than an eight? It's a king. Oh, and the crowd goes mad. We love these programs. And then I'll say, well, what do you want to do now? Do you want to go higher or lower? Go lower. Oh, it's another king, a pair. You don't get anything for a pair, not in this game. This was all the things we used to love watching. And the crowd used to go mad. And Bruce Forsyth used to really egg it up. And the thing is, you don't get anything for a pair, not in this game. That was the whole thing. There's all these catchphrases that we used to watch. But Come On Down, The Price Is Right was a program, as I said, I didn't really watch that much. I didn't think I particularly liked it, particularly. And it was hosted by a guy called Leslie Crowther. And Leslie Crowther, I think, at the time was getting on a bit. But he had slick black hair, slicked it all back. And he had brilliant white teeth. And he smiled like some confidence guy, you know, trying to con you out of something. And then they'd have three or four contestants. And they would say, they'd call out the audience. And they say, Gene Bailey, come on down. Betty Boo, come on down. George Formby, come on down. And they'd come running down the stairs, waving their hands, screaming, and trying to negotiate the steps and not to fall over. I think it was actually an accident waiting to happen, but this is what they did. And then they would sit down, and they would have to estimate the price of items that would be on the market, and the closest would win that prize. It was all about estimating value and worth. What the object was worth, they had to estimate in order to win the prize. All these shows were generated by a desire to have more material things, being prepared to make a fool of yourself and to possibly win a holiday or even a car or his and her mopeds. Or if it was something like Bullseye, you could win a speedboat. Quite random, really. So everybody was looking for something for nothing, to buck the system, to receive something for free, to freely receive. Like, we all want to do that, don't we? We all want to receive if we can for free. They wanted to break the pattern of working and reward and sowing and reaping. These shows are generally based on gambling and knowledge and greed. We would reassure ourselves, we would watch the contestants, and we'd wish that we could secretly have all the items for ourselves. I think we liked watching what they'd got and whether they could guess all the items on the conveyor belt. But we secretly wished it was us. But we convinced ourselves by saying, oh, well, I'm really happy for them. But of course, really, we wanted it ourselves. And of course, then when those people were leaving and they hadn't won anything, they would go, oh, you had a wonderful day, thank you, through gritted teeth. And they would leave with nothing. So everything we do has a price to pay. It can be a relationship. It can be money. It can be time. It can be responsibility. I was thinking about this, and it's often said that it's better to give than to receive. don't know why I think about you and Angie. I think, imagine you send us, Angie. I don't know why. It's better to give than to receive. And when I was at Bible college, I actually found it was very difficult to receive gifts, even though we needed help, to actually humble yourself and accept the gift. But it wasn't a big problem because we seldom received anything from the church. So it wasn't a problem I often had. In our house, we love to play games as well. If you know Mary and me well, you'd know that we play a lot of games in our house. But one of the games that we had when we were children was one that you played on your own, which was you had this little book and you'd tick off things that you'd see around. It was called the I Spy books. I don't know if you, apparently they're still going and they go way back. And what you'd do is you get all kinds of books, like exotic ones, wildlife. And you'd have to go and find those things and mark them off the books in the books. I don't think I ever completed the book. Back in the 60s, my sister had a nice, I think, butterflies or wildlife book. And Always Be Different, I was given the book of street signs and street furniture, which wasn't great and very interesting. So you're ticking. So post box, tick. Telephone box, tick. So why am I talking about all these things? Very good question. When you consider that everything that God has given to us, I think we should be thinking more about what has been given to us and what more we can do to give back to him. We have freely received and we are told to freely give. So I thought, just be a bit fun today, if you'd get hold of your metaphoric I Spy books, that's metaphoric, you don't actually have them, it's metaphoric. And we're going to look, as we go through, you might find some references to game shows as we go through, but I want you to start thinking about some of the things that we're reading about, because really it's not a game, it's about life, about what we do and what we give and how we receive. So we go back to the song. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, because you believe, others will know that I live. So we're going to focus on what we've received and what we give. It can appear that I've given a lot. In the song, I felt that when I heard it, when I listened to it, I think the emphasis is on freely received, and to freely give is quite a light thing, because it seems to me that it implies that you just give a bit of your plenty out of your plenty. I don't think, as we go through the passage, I think you'll find that isn't quite the case. It's back to the sweets analogy. We share just a bit. What is the minimum that I can get away with? Didn't he do well? There's a little reference there to put through it. So Jesus sends out the 12s. If you want to go to John 10, verse 1. I don't think I've given the wrong reference, actually. I think I should have told you. Matthew, wasn't it? Matthew 10, sorry, verse 1. So we're going to read through this passage, and we're going to go back over this again in a minute. So Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. Yes, for Andrews. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, it's just kind of interesting looking at that. And the detail in here is great. And it mentions Judas Iscariot, of course. And you think, well, Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him, was he doing all these things? Yeah, I think he was. I think he was carrying out these miracles. And yet he fell so badly. Just kind of interesting. So do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belt. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their home until you leave. And as you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. Hospitality within the Jewish community was such an important thing. It goes right back to Abraham when he entertained the strangers, when the angels that came and gave the word. It's something that people did. They freely gave. They entertained people in their homes. I just remember, just come to my mind, when I used to have a colleague that went to Egypt. And my experience of Egypt wasn't great, but she and her boyfriend were sitting by the Nile, and this guy came up, was trying to sell them cigarettes, and they weren't interested because they had no money left. They were waiting for money to be sent to them through the bank. And they said to this guy, I'm sorry, we're not going to buy any cigarettes because we're waiting for money to be mailed to us from England, and so we can't buy anything. And this guy invited them to his house, and they had breakfast with him. So it's amazing that it's that kind of attitude where he didn't expect anything in the end. He actually said, right, come to our house, meet the family, come have breakfast with us, a complete stranger. And that's kind of different to sometimes in our society. We don't have that kind of attitude of giving. Anyway, that's by the by. It wasn't planned, so talk about that. And it also says, of course, in the Bible that you may be entertaining angels. So we should do. We should entertain people in our homes. So number 14, if anybody will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Wow, as I was preparing this, this actually really spoke to me, this particular verse, because we kind of, I don't know if out there you might feel that you've been rejected by people, and it can make you literally sick when you ponder and you're thinking over and over and over and over and keep playing it through, and it can make you literally sick, and it's done that with me. And I'm sure some of you have done it. So I thought, let's just stop for a second, and I want you to think about those things that you're holding on to at the moment. I want you to shake them off. Okay, we're going to shake off the dust. Okay, I'm not going to stand up because it wouldn't be very pretty, but if you want to shake your hands, just shake off that dust. We're not going to accept that. We're freely pass on that, thank you very much. You can have that back. Okay, so just keep shaking, just close your eyes and just think that God's taking away that dust. Take that dust off. We're going to move on. Okay, so I'm going to move on there. But I just want you to think that it's a promise from God. Jesus is saying, look, just shake it off, move on. That's what we're going to do sometimes, is just shake things off and move on. Okay, when you finish shaking, I'll carry on. Verse 15, truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I heard a story of about a guy that was an evangelist, and him and his wife, the town took them to hang them on a tree, and they got rescued before they got killed. It was in America, and there's a person that helped them, got them away, and then a hurricane came through that town afterwards and wiped it away. There was nothing left. The only place that was left, I think, was the house of the person that helped them. So it was completely lost forever, that town. So I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Verse 17, be on your guard. You'll be handed over to local councils and flogged in synagogues. On my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. Will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So what did the song mean back in the day? When I was younger, freely, freely you have received. It was a quaint song, and it easily rolled off the tongue, little ballad. But it was a weak proclamation by many, probably including me. The Bible verses are not passive. They have power. Water. They did stuff that our church would barely acknowledge or would barely do or would consider doing. and yet we still sang the song back in the day. What should I give? Come on down, the price is right. So, Gene, what should you give? Well, I could, I think, give 10% after my tax and after the rent. Then I'll give you 10%. So should Betty, Gene go higher or lower? Higher or lower? I've just mixed my shows. Don't worry about it. Higher or lower? Higher or lower? Because it's not just about money, is it? It's about everything. Not just about higher and lower. It's about giving God more. I think we should go higher. We should always seek to go higher. It's about what we do as servants. It's about what we do as believers, what's expected of us, but going beyond what's expected, go that extra mile. So what does a passage say about the price? What is the cost and what is the reward? So here we go with Jesus' expectations. So get your, again, get your metaphoric I Spy books ready. Feel free to play along at home or on Facebook. So here we go. Drive out impure spirits. Tick. Heal every disease. It doesn't say pray. It says heal every disease. The emphasis is on healing, okay? We do it through the Holy Spirit. Tick. And just like I was remembering back about a few weeks ago, we were talking about safe prayers. There isn't a lot about safe about this passage, is there? Oh, Lord, we are but humble worms. Not sure what a humble worm looks like. Before you, you are big and we are so little. If it be your will to heal little Jimmy's toe, then so be it. Even little Jimmy's embarrassed by the prayer because it's so rubbish. What has God given you? And the passage tells you right at the beginning, he's given power and authority. It says he's given authority. Right in verse 1, I have given you authority. We have been given authority. We're not called to be timid and apologetic. We are told to be bold and to talk with authority. Get out in Jesus' name. We are not called to be like Sergeant Wilson in Dad's Army. Would you mind awfully getting into line? I hate to impose, but would it be possible if you could just leave and I would be awfully grateful? It's the worst impression ever. I know what you're thinking. We cannot negotiate with Satan. We cannot negate our responsibility and pass it on to someone else. We seek to pass it on Jesus, if it be your will, rather than actually taking authority. He said, I've given you power and authority. I've already paid for it on the cross. Remember, I've already paid for it. You just have to take that power and use it. You freely receive, now freely give. But this is, like I said, this is not a game show. This is about responsibilities. If you eat all the sweets, you will have no teeth. Then what will you be? Toothless. It's about sharing what you have. It's on flow from God. He's given us everything, and we have to give it away. As you go, proclaim the message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Number 8, heal the sick, tick. Raise the dead, tick. I was going to tell you a story about a couple of weeks ago. I went to see somebody and we were arranged to meet up, and I went to their place and I couldn't get an answer on the entry system. And I tried to get through on the trade system and I couldn't get through. I tried ringing the person and I couldn't get through. I tried ringing the parent, wasn't there. So I couldn't get a hold of them there. Eventually, I managed to gain access. And as I was going up landings to meet this person, I began to consider what I was going to come into contact with. I didn't know. I wasn't overly worried. I thought, like, I'll deal with whatever it is when it comes to that situation. And as I was walking on the corridor, I was actually contemplating, when I get there, I might have to raise somebody from the dead. And I thought, I didn't feel daunted. I just felt actually quite at peace. I thought, if I need to do it, I'll do it. And we have to be like that. We have to be prepared, you know. It's not necessarily going to happen that we have to do it, but we need to be prepared. So then we have cleansed those who have leprosy. Tick. I don't know how many lepers we meet around these days, but they do exist, I know. drive out demons. You have received, freely give. We may never have the opportunity to tick these off our list, but we have to be prepared to do so. When we're given the opportunity, do we play or do we pass? Are you going to play or are you going to pass? It's your choice. Ladies and gentlemen, what should they do? Should they play or should they pass? Should they play or should they pass? And the crowd shouts out, pass. But it's entirely up to you. Do you play or do you pass? Family fortunes. We took a survey of one man, me. What are the top four excuses made by Christians for doing nothing in the kingdom of God? So here are the four requirements and the excuses. Okay, this is just a bit of fun. I hope you're enjoying it this morning. So number one, proclaim the kingdom of heaven has come near. Well, you see, isn't it good when there are those within the congregation with the gift of the gab? It's great, isn't it? Proclamation is much more your thing than mine. Heal the sick and raise the dead. Heal the sick and raise the dead. Well, that's more a job for the pastors, I think, isn't it? To healing, you know, raising the dead and all that stuff. Yeah, but what happens when the pastors need to be raised? What happens when the pastors need to be healed? Who does it then? Cleanse those who have leprosy. Whoops, I forgot to do my ding. I missed my ding out. I'll do it now. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Oh, leprosy, you poor thing. I'd love to help you, but I've got eczema, see? Eczema. It's hard to spell and difficult to stop. It's a bit like leprosy, isn't it? I would love to help you, but you're not wearing a mask. Drive out demons. Well, I would, but I don't want to cause a scene, you know. I don't really want to cause a scene. The translation of that is, I don't want to lose my position in society or to look stupid. But you could win a car. Well, in that case, I'll look stupid. That's great. So come on down. The price is right. Our service to God is not designed for convenience. It's a relationship. It's a fellowship with him. It is designed to reach those who do not know God with a transformational message, a gift freely given from him to them. Some years ago, I had a dream and got my mouth drying up a lot today. Some years ago, I had a dream and there was an African boy and it's pouring with rain, absolutely chucking it down. And it's kind of like an arid back, the scene behind. And I'm looking at this boy. And I'm thinking, why is he crying? He was crying. It was chucking it down. And I thought he should be glad because he should be pure joy because it's raining when it's been such an arid and difficult place. But as I asked, the translation was, he didn't know the gospel. He was asking questions like, what is my purpose for living? What if there is something bigger, God who actually sees and cares for me? Well, I can tell you today that if you don't know God, that God does see you. He does care for you. He does love you. And he wants the best for you. He has a chart. He has an option for you to move forward. We can focus so much on the social gospel without giving practical help to others that have not heard the gospel. This, I don't know why I wrote that on there. But it doesn't matter. But to ignore the verbal gospel, the actual message, is a big mistake because the social gospel and the resources that we provide are only temporary. I used to hear the argument all the time, and I still do hear it. People will see Jesus in me. I'll do these things, and people will see the Jesus in me, and they'd never share the message. It can actually be an excuse to share, to not to share, or to take a risk, or to make yourself like a fool, or to get into an argument you don't want to get into. We are called, we've been freely given, and we are called to freely give. When you help people to tide them over and don't tell them the gospel, then they potentially go to hell. And hell does exist. They potentially go to hell. And then we're patting ourselves on the back saying, well, he's died, but well, at least he's not suffering now. Hell actually exists. Without the gospel, the world is a dry and arid. Wait for motorbike to go by. Within the gospel, the world is dry and arid land, a dry and arid land where jumble sales and cucumber sandwiches and quiche and dirges ring out devoid of joy, power, love, and meaning. In a word, it is pointless. Didn't you do well? So we go back to the passage, verse 9. Do not get any gold or silver or copper. To take with you in your belt. No bag for the journey, or extra shirt or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. Now, as you enter the home, give your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. So here, it's amazing. Just reading this was amazing. Because peace is actually a thing, it's like an object, it's freely given, it's like a superpower. You can take that with you and give it to people, and you can tick that off in your I Spy book, your Christian I Spy book. It's a superpower. You bring peace in situations that are difficult. We are fully reliant on God. When we fully rely on God, then that's when things happen, that's when things change. You know, the whole thing about being difficult to receive gifts sometimes. It's actually because it's a lack of acknowledgement you need other people. We need God. And this whole exercise that the disciples were doing was actually showing their need for him and showing that he would provide what they needed. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Tick. You put, tick that off in your book, wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as snakes. Tick. And as innocent as doves. Tick. Your book's filling up nicely now. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. See, hang on a sec. I didn't sign up for this. Maybe we could just do something else, like do like a Beetle drive or something. I don't think they exist anymore. Or a fundraiser instead. Come on down. The price is right. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. I'd read this and I thought this actually it's quite an awesome word. It's not great news that you're going to be beaten and taken to court. But the good news is that the Spirit of the Father will speak through you. Yeah, actually speak through you. Yeah, you can speak through you. Okay, we can tick that in our box as well. You can speak through us. Okay, well, let's take it back a notch. I just want to think about, we're getting quite close to the end, so don't despair. I was thinking about particularly football teams, actually. When you join a football team, you pay your fee, and then you go out and train with the team in the cold and the wet. And you learn new skills, and you're helped by those that have gone before, those that have better skills than you. And there's give and take, and there's sacrifices the team makes, and it leads to some defeats and some victories. You grieve together in defeat, and you celebrate the victories. You share in both, and the team accepts your strengths and your weaknesses. But if you don't make the sacrifices as well, and you don't try and do well, and you don't put the effort in, you're guaranteed to be sat on the bench week after week, not making a difference to the team, or even possibly dropped from the whole team. If you don't sow into the team, you don't share in the glory. You don't turn into the team, you don't share the glory. The glory comes from a shared experience. So what does give freely look like? For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die but have eternal life. That is freely giving. That was Jesus giving his life for you. That was Jesus giving you the opportunity today to change your ways if you don't know him. So a little bit more to come yet. I did a while back, we were doing a quiz in Quizen Church, not this current church, and I said I'm going to divide the church into two groups. You can be the sheep and you can be the goats. Tick, tick. But I don't think it went down too well. It was wrong, but it was still funny because people don't want to be people want to be a sheep and not a goat in biblical terms. So we're going to look at Matthew 25 about the sheep and the goats. I think that's verse 31. I've been listening a lot to Keith Green and the sheep and the goats. And I've listened to it over and over and over again. I think it's driving Mary and Lydia absolutely mad. I just love it. I just think it's a great song. So, the sheep and goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate the people. God, dear, well, I'm emotional about that. All the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate the people from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by the Father, take your inheritance. Yes, please. I really want my inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you are cursed. You are cursed into the internal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did nothing. You did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. And they also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick and in prison or did not help you? He replied, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. And then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So, well done, you sheep. You get your share of the kingdom. Bah! There you go. And the sheep go off waving their arms like something out of Come On Down. Then you've got the commiserations to the goats. Bah, humbug. It's the best pun I could think of, sorry. But look at what you could have won. Look at what you could have won. I think possibly the most scary passage in the Bible is when Jesus says, I tell you the truth, I did not know you. I do not know you. So the message is, are you prepared to pay the price you've freely received? Are you ready to freely give? If so, come on down and be part of the kingdom team. I was going to do a conveyor belt thing on PowerPoint, but I decided not to because I don't think it was necessary. But I want you to think, Facebook might want to join in on this as well, about the things that God's promised us. And I did one of my Google checks on a list of things, just 9 things that God's given us and promises us. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I'm just going to go through the list. He answers our prayers. He adopts us as his children. He gives us salvation. He gives us no more suffering. He promises to give us peace of mind, protection, wisdom, and guidance, and forgiveness. These are just a tip of the things that God's promised us and has given us. For those goats out there, here's what you could have won. It's not too late to change. If you feel like you fall into that category, then it's now time to change, to ask Jesus into your life today, because you can still become one of the sheep. And I was just having a little flashback there. I think a few of you might remember this. I don't know. I think Emma might remember this one. I don't know. But when we were kids, we used to watch a thing called Run Around. And it's not part of my plan sermon. And all these kids would go, they'd have like 3 choices, A, B, or C, and they'd have different answers to the question. And then they'd all have to the thing would start and they'd all run and stand in front of the post, which was the right answer or whatever. And they got given the opportunity to change. And at that point, they could change lanes, change the lane when they were in to another one. And I think the idea was partly to try and trick other people into going the wrong lane. But we're at a point now where things, I don't think it's going to be that much longer before we get taken up. But I think now is the time to change. If you don't know Jesus and you don't have him in your life, the time is now to change and to come into his kingdom. So I hope you enjoyed that. That's my summary this morning. Thank you for watching.